You know, we've got some special, I would say guests, but they're really not guests. They're just special friends of ours here today that we were planning to be with us months ago. But of course, it just didn't work out that way. But they're here today. And so I'm going to have a David and Mimi Reeves come on up. Many of you know them. Some are going to get to know them. Give them a nice welcome to Bethany Church, okay? Oh, so David and Mimi, there's the picture of what they look like without their mask. And go ahead and you can take your mask off right up here on stage. And you see their picture there. And of course, you see a little addition to their family. Well, that's baby Jade. Now, Jade is here, but she's asleep. And mom thought it'd be best just to let her sleep. So you may get a chance to see her in person. You might not. But they've, let me tell you that David and Mimi are some of our missionary partners in France. They came here to the States right after the first of the year for a couple of reasons. One is so Jade, that their baby could be born here in the States. And the second is that they came and just had become appointed as career missionaries with our mission. And they've been on an intern status. And those two things were happening. And then they were going to be here and visiting churches and building their base of support, strengthening their prayer support, their financial report. And so they've done a couple of those things, but it's 2020. They would have been back in France by now was their hope and their plan, but they're still here. And because of the pandemic, being unable to travel, being unable to get into churches, it's just delayed their time to get back. And so David is from Western Kentucky, and it's his first time here at Bethany Church. Yeah. I've known David for a while, but he feels like he's part of our church family. But this is Mimi, and Mimi has been here often, and she is French. And so, David, you have a real French wife. Yeah. That's pretty awesome, and that's great. And we're just so happy to have them here before they return back to France. And so let me just remind all of us and those who don't know, this is where they serve and minister in the country of France, but really up in that northwest corner, I think it's called Brittany, in the area of France there, in the city of Nantes, where our missionaries, that Joel and Liddy Teague, Robert and Judy were there and where they serve. And why don't you tell us just a little bit about France to help us understand ministry-wise, spiritually, what most of us don't understand about France.
Well, I'm going to let Mimi. Mimi's going to talk to you a little bit about the spiritual context of what's going on in France right now, because I know you can see the statistics on the screen, but having an expert opinion here is a really good thing to have. So I'm going to let her kind of share a little more about that. But I want to give you, whenever you see these numbers, if you're like me, sometimes it's really difficult to process those numbers, 2%, 0.2%. And I was talking with Robert Bryan. Many of you know Robert. They've led us, given us the privilege of being able to stay in their home while we're here in Oklahoma. And he was talking to me about the Jinx football stadium. And he said, you know, that high school stadium can fit 25,000 people or more in that stadium, but let's, for the sake of a number, stick with 25,000. I'm going to give you a little ratio that you can maybe see, maybe a little more tangibly, what 2% or 0.2% would be. So let's say it's standing room only in the Jinx football stadium. The fence stands are packed. Everybody's there. So 25,000 people in attendance. 10% of that would be 2,500. 1% of that would be 250. Whenever we start getting into the 0.2%, that would be about 50 people. So if you can imagine 25,000 people in an audience, only about the team and the cheerleaders would be your Christians in attendance, if we were putting this on a stage of a country. So that just kind of gives you a little perspective of 68 million people in a country of France, and only 0.2% in our little area profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. But now I want Mimi to kind of share with you a little bit more of the spiritual significance of what's going on.
Well, I was one of a fortunate French person, actually, because I was one of a fortunate French person because I was able to be born in the West, and that's where our Free Baptist missionaries have been sent for generation now, and my whole family was impacted through their ministry. All of us, five children, and my dad as well, we were all saved through a ministry of Free Baptist missionary, and I'm just very thankful for that. Growing up in my high school, I was the only Christian with my brother. And there were about 600 people in the high school. And in our town, we were the only Christian family. And so but if I can give you a little perspective of how dark French can be. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I think for us here in America, we think about France and we think about those things, Western Europe, modern country, Eiffel Tower, great food. Yeah. Often we don't think about it in terms of a spiritual understanding. And most of the time we're surprised to know how spiritually dark and lost it is, and how the gospel really is shut out in those places of France. So this is where they're from. So when you think about France, I hope you'll think about it a little bit differently with the spiritual context. There are people who do not know Jesus Christ. They've really even ever heard the good news of Jesus Christ. But, you know, but things are changing and things are happening. Here's a picture of someone we wanted you to meet. This is Mary Lynn. And I asked, they were telling me about Mary Lynn. So David and Mimi are going to tell us about Mary Lynn and what's happening in France.
Can I take you into a French home really fast? I want to tell you a story. I want you to imagine a girl in her teenage years. And she came home to her parents. And like many other French people, whenever they were ever posed with the question of God or religion or things like that, she came home and naturally wanted to ask what her parents felt about it. And whenever she shared that with her parents, very quickly they told her, no, we don't talk about things like that. That is not something we talk about in this home. And over again, when that question came up in their minds, over and over again, it was shut down. And specifically, this was the case for Mary Lynn. She would come home and she would talk to her father about God, about religion, and he would shut it down. But then one day, Mary Lynn met a Christian. And this Christian invited her to one of our evangelistic events. And she came, and she was blown away by what she heard. She was just shocked by it. Wow, there are arguments to believe in the rationality of God. There are reasons to believe in Jesus. There are reasons to believe in these sort of things. So she naturally said, I have to come back. I have to hear more about what's going on. So she did. And then she started a discussion group. And then that discussion group progressed into a Bible study. And then at the end of that Bible study, she said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my heart to the Lord, and I want him to be the Lord of my life. But as you know, oftentimes, someone gives their life to the Lord, there's often pushback from the world. And you remember I was telling you about her parents. It came in the form of her parents. When she gave her heart to the Lord, they said, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. Mary Lynn has four kids. They said, we don't want to be a part of your life. We don't want to see the family. We don't want to see anything because of your decision to follow Christ. And I say this all because of there is physical persecution that exists in our world that is horrible, but there's also social, there's also psychological persecution that exists, and that's what we see very often in France. And people in France, like Mary Lynn did before, they have these walls built up in their mind between them and God and them and Jesus. And for the longest time, they're just reinforcing these walls. And our goal is to tear down those walls so we can see more people like Mary Lynn. That whenever now I tell you this story, but Mary Lynn, that smile you see on her face never left. That smile you see has not gone away. And the moment the doors are opened in the church, she, if any way possible, will be there. And she's always volunteering to help. She'll clean anything. She'll do whatever she can to help serve her church. And she's always asking, what can we do to invite some of our friends? And I believe she has a passion for her family and seeing her family come to know the Lord as well. Even though they've rejected her, she hopes that one day that they will see the goodness of God as she has, and they will come to know Jesus as she has.
You know, that's such a challenging story for us to hear. We often think about, well, maybe there is some cost to following Christ. Most of us never really face that kind of cost and that kind of rejection in our families. So as we pray, know that your giving, your praying results in someone like Mary Lynn coming to know Christ. But also don't stop praying for Mary Lynn because, she's paying a price, taking up her cross every day. We want to pray for her kids who may be a whole new generation of believers that will come and share the gospel. Pray for her family, her folks that can come to know Christ. But you mentioned she came first to an evangelistic event called J-Ponce, and we're familiar around here with at J-Ponce events, but why don't you tell us just a little bit about what J-Ponce is and what's happening now?
Yeah, this was actually the idea of Joel and Liddy Teague, who are members here, yeah, from what Randy was telling me, and this is such a really cool ministry that's going on in France. I was telling you about those walls that are built up in people's heads, separating them from Jesus. And the goal of J'y pense, which means I'm thinking about it, is to take these big questions that they have about God and to break them down and to tear down those walls between them and Jesus for them to see who Jesus is, who he is. Many people in France don't know another believer. They don't even know a Christian. So they've never had an argument, a reasonable argument for why Jesus is who he said he is, or why the Bible is reliable in these things. And we are giving them, through these events, reasons to believe in Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life. And we have seen incredible success. We started 3 years ago with 150 people coming to our event, and thank the Lord, the one right before we left France, we had 220 people come. So God is giving increase. God is giving more and more people that are hungry for the truth. And we're so excited to see that, to see people, 80% of the people in that room are non-believers and skeptics. That's exactly who we want to reach. That's exactly who we want in there. And we're so excited by what God is doing and how he is touching people's heart through this event, because it's something that, I mean, Robert will tell you, Dennis Teague will tell you, this is something we haven't seen before in France, and we're excited.
It's an incredibly effective way to share the gospel, introduce people to Jesus Christ. It's growing, it's effective, and of course it's come under attack by the evil one. Of course, now they haven't been able to have one because of the pandemic. But we do know that most of those people that come are young people. And we've been fortunate and blessed to be part of J-Ponce from the beginning, and we continue to pray for J-Ponce. But as people come to know Christ, they need a church. And so a church grew out of J-Ponce. There's a picture right here. Tell us about your church there in France.
Yeah, J-Ponce is not a church. J-Ponce is an evangelistic event that we try to use as a bridge to get people to church. But church is the end result that we're trying to get. We're trying to get these people that have been, as I told you, there's a lot of walls between them and Christ. So for them in the beginning, it's very hard for them to walk into a church like this. It's very hard. They're just really worried. They don't know what's going on in the church. They don't really know what to expect. And there's a lot of skepticism as to what the church really is because of the effects of Catholicism and other things within the history of France that has been very difficult through the past. But our goal through our J'y pense events is to give the people of France a church that they can have and they can go to be able to fulfill God's purpose in their life. And that is to serve him, to love the Lord, and to love others as he's called them to. And that's what gets us excited, because if you look, this is not, not everyone in this picture is a member of our church, but by extension, they know somebody who's in our church and they hang out with our group. But if everyone were to attend our service on Sunday, if everyone were there at the same time, you really know how this works. We would have maybe 35 to 40 people, which God is so good, because for a church that was planted 3 years ago, we've seen incredible increase. The average church in France is maybe 25 people. So God is doing something special through this group, through the J'y pense events, and making a bridge for people to experience what God has called them to, and that's to live in community and to love him and to love others.
Yeah. So first the church started out just meeting in people's homes, and eventually they were able to get some space, you were telling me, but it was quite difficult to find space to rent for a church. People, just tell us a little bit about how hard it is just to even find a place for believers to meet as a church.
Yeah. One of my roles is to find a location to rent for the JPense, but also for a church. Joel asked me at the beginning of our internship to find a building that we could rent for our church building. And it took me about a year and a half to find one. And not because I wasn't working hard, really, believe me. I called about 200 places, visited, I don't even know how many places I visited, but almost every place I called or visited told us, well, you are a Christian organization, we do not want you here. Until finally, that kind man that was actually a Catholic Boy Scout director at that place to rent and allow us to rent his office space. And God really opened the door here. But it is hard sometimes for Christian, for Protestants to rent even a place, to find a place to where they can worship. That probably is crazy to sound like that, but a lot of churches face the same amount of problems.
Well, you've just, of course, during this pandemic, your church hasn't been able to meet. They're starting to meet back together. And do we want to pray for this church that has met there? But mentioned they started out just meeting in somebody's home. And Donnell and I were able to visit about 3 years ago, and we went to the church service that was in the home of Cyprian. And let me show you this picture right here. That's Cyprian in the glasses. So we really went to his small home. When I say home, it was really just like one room with the kitchen. And it was 25 to 30 people that were in there. It's such a wonderful service. It's made such a powerful impact on Donnell and myself being there. But Cyprian's story is part of what happens through the ministry there that you have in France. Tell us about Cyprian. Well, tell us about this picture.
Well, 10 years ago, I want to paint you a picture. Cyprian came running into Joel Teague's house and was distraught. He was broken. He had no clue what was going on in his life. He was living with a woman that wasn't his wife, and they were expecting their first child. And all of a sudden, she just moved away, didn't give him a text, didn't give him a phone call, nothing, no words. She was gone, packed up everything, and left him. And he was broken. He said, well, I have no security in this life. I have no clue. I can't guarantee who's going to love me. I can't guarantee I'm going to see my daughter or when I'm going to get to see her. And he was absolutely broken. And Joel, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Joel, I want to tell you a little bit more. Joel had been witnessing to Cyprian for about 10 years. Imagine witnessing to someone for 10 years. And how difficult that would be to continue to be optimistic that one day this person, they're going to get it. One day this person, they're going to see that Christ loves them and that they need to experience that. And Cyprian, in this moment, Joel began to share with him the gospel. He said, you know what, Cyprian, I can't promise you security in this life. I can't do it. Because there's things that happen in our life that we are out of control of. There's things that are going to happen that we don't know why they happen. But I can promise you something beyond that. I can promise you that there's an eternal life beyond this one. And that you can be secure in your knowledge of Christ and you're following him as your Lord and Savior. And that can be something beyond this life. And in that moment, the light bulb turned on for Cyprian. And he said, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my heart to Jesus. And he did. And then Cyprian began his own little journey. He was able to see his daughter for the first time when she was 8 years old. Sorry, 3 months old. I'm wrong. He got to see her when she was 3 months old in a McDonald's parking lot. And he was so distraught by that because the judge gave him custody, but only once. He got to see her 1 weekend out of every two weeks. So he didn't get to see her very often, and he was broken because he realized he was now a believer. And his daughter was living the majority of her life in a non-believing home. His old girlfriend had already found a new guy by that point and was living with him. And he began to do the unthinkable. You know what he did? He began witnessing to these people whenever he would drop off his daughter at their house. He began sharing his faith. And he then began inviting them to the JPense events. And for the longest time, they were like, no, we're not interested. But then this little girl, his daughter, began to grow. And she came to Sunday school. She came to church. And God was really dealing with her heart, and we saw growth in her. And this smile you see is just a reflection of what we see the Holy Spirit doing in her heart. And you know what? Her mom and her stepdad, they eventually got married, the girl and the new guy. They saw a difference in her as opposed to their other kids. And they were blown away, and they said, we'll try Jupons. We'll see what this is all about. And they came. Then they came back a second time because they were really challenged by what was said. And the second time they came back, they said, we'll be in your church every Sunday. And so now you'll come into our church and you'll see these people sitting on a couch together. In the world, these are the people that I'm talking to you about. These are the people. And the world tells you these people don't sit on a couch together and smile. The world tells you that Cyprian, he should have never forgiven her for what she did to him. The world even goes as far to say is that she is not good enough for grace. But that's not what the gospel says. The gospel says that anyone who calls on the name of Christ will be saved. And that's what, whenever you walk into our church, you'll see people like this, and you'll see this story, and the world will look at it and say, only something divine can do that. Because we're called Mosaic Church. That's the name of our church. And we say that because if you know what a mosaic painting is, it's all these broken pieces of glass that come together to make a beautiful image. That's what we believe the church is. People with broken stories that come together to make a beautiful image, which is the church. The most beautiful thing our world's ever seen. And that's the beauty of this story and the story of the gospel.
You know, as you pray for France, you're praying for those events like J-Ponts, young people who can come to know Jesus Christ. You're praying for the Mosaic Church. The people like Cyprian and then the mother of his daughter and this whole family, they can love one another because of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes us. But when we talk about missions, we're really just talking about people, wherever they are in the world. And these are some of the people that they are in your mission field that you're praying for. Why don't you tell us about a couple of them?
Okay. Let me tell you about Yen. And then Mimi will tell you a story about one of them as well. But Yen is Marilyn's husband. If you remember on the previous slides, the girl who was in the picture with Mimi, that's Marilyn's husband, Yen. And Yen did not decide to follow the Lord whenever Marilyn did. And he says, he comes to our events, though. He comes often. And he's a lot of the time with us. And he said, you know, 99% of what you guys believe, I believe. But there's this 1% that's blocking me. And if you don't, I won't go into a lot of detail, but in France, there's a lot of spiritism, a lot of occultism that you wouldn't expect in a Western country. But there's a lot there, and his sisters are self-proclaimed witches. His mother and father have dabbled in that, and he himself as well. And Lydia and Mimi, about a year ago, were really challenged to start doing a teaching lesson on why these things are not right for people in the church to participate in. And Yen, he came to one a couple weeks back. And this is new information. You're one of the first churches that get to hear it. But Yen came after the teaching lesson was over on occultism. He came to Lydia and Joel and he said, I want to go through my books and I want to find the ones that are like this and I want to get rid of them. I don't want them in my house. And he said, Joel, I also want you to come over to the house and I want you to pray for me for deliverance from this. So just the answer to prayer already, since we've been in the U.S., Yan has made leaps and bounds in his journey towards Christ. And we're asking for you to pray with us that he would find freedom in Christ, purpose in Christ, and fulfillment in Jesus, because that's the only place he's going to find it. And he's on the right track already by saying that I need to get rid of these things from my life. So continue to pray for Yan. That's one person we're asking you to pray for. And Mimi is going to share a second.
Well, I see the time, but I'm just super thankful for this church. And if you guys want to know more about those guys, we really want prayer. One thing you can do is you can follow our ministry page. Once, if you found those little cards on your bench here, In the back of this, you will find how to follow our ministry on Facebook and Instagram. It's new on Instagram. But we will share more story about the people, and we can even explain more in detail some of the faces we weren't able to explain, and ask you guys to pray. That's some of the thing we want the most, is for you guys to pray for the ministry. I know many of you have prayed that whenever I came years ago, I was single. Many of you prayed that I would find a husband, and God has answered your prayer. So I'm very thankful for that. But we really do need prayer, and we are very, very thankful that this church make the ministry of J'y Pense possible, and us being in France and serving God possible, because it is an honor to represent you, to represent Bethany Church in France. If you guys want to know more, I'll let David explain more about how you can connect more with this card. He does a better job than me with this card. You go ahead, babe.
For this card, you found a white card with the prayer cards. And with that, if you just leave your email address, we've started a new emailing newsletter. We've been doing it for probably 4 or 5 months now. And if you leave your email address on that card and just leave it in the back, in one of the buckets, we'll get you plugged in to our email newsletter, and you'll be able to see when our next events are, things like of that nature. And also on that card as well is where you can partner with us financially. And that's what we're asking for. One of the other reasons we're still in the U.S. is because we haven't reached our budgetary goal. We haven't reached what we need in order to get back to France, and we're looking for monthly partners. I know that's a sacrifice, but God, whenever he talks about partnership in the Bible, he talks of, Paul addresses it in Philippians, and he says, when I look on you, I look on you with joy for our partnership in the gospel. Because without you guys, we can't go to France. And many of you right now don't have the ability to go to France and move your family, but you have the ability to be able to support a missionary and see other people, other stories. And that's what I encourage you to think about. How many more Cyprians are there out there? How many more Marylands? How many more Yens, Annas, Stephanies? There's many other people, 68 million, that need to hear the gospel. And I'm praying for you to consider partnering with us and seeing the people of France reached with the gospel.
You know, I want to just wrap it up by telling both David and Mimi, we're so happy that they really are part of our church family, help us be a great commission church, and in the ongoing ministry and mission in France. And I'm always excited when Mimi's here, or her sister Liddy is here, and they're both French. And their story is a story of coming to know Christ that really changed their whole family through Free Will Baptist International Missions. And now they are missionaries there. And to me, it's always a little return on investment report that I get, to knowing that often when we're asked to give to missions or about anything, we just give money. We don't know really what happens on the other end, and we trust God by faith, and we get to heaven. You know, we're going to meet these people that we made a difference in them being in heaven because we gave. But God is so good that he gives me a little bit of a glimpse, because I get to see Mimi or Liddy and the young people like David and young families that carry on the legacy of Bethany Church and ministries there, from a Robert and Judy to another generation of ministry going forward. Now, it's hard to do the Great Commission anyway under the best of ideal circumstances for missionaries to get to the field. It's been extremely challenging during this time of pandemic, difficult to get into churches, to have services, to meet with people. But I just want to challenge all of us to, if you give faith commitments or your faith promise and not able to have a global impact celebration, be reminded of that. So many of you are so faithfully give to missionaries, and you do that, and it's just part of who you are in your Christian faith, your Christian walk. For some of us, we're much younger, and that really hasn't been. And I would just challenge a younger generation that's coming up to take on the Great Commission and give to support missionaries, to go to the field, young missionaries of your generation, and to be praying for them to go. And just thank you for your work you're doing there. You got that prayer card brand new off the press with baby Jade there. Be praying for them. They really need our prayers. And then stay in contact with them. You can give right through Bethany Church, and we make sure they get all those funds that go to them. But we want to pray with them as we wrap up today. Pray for Well, as we pray for France, we're just not praying for a faceless country now. We're praying for Mary Lynn. We're praying for Jan. We're praying for Cyprian. We're praying for all that lovely family, Stephanie and Anna and others that are there, and for David and Mimi and her missionary efforts there. Let's pray. Father, we're in your house today. Sometimes we can take it for granted that things that are minor inconveniences to us, Father, we sometimes complain about and we forget, Father, that for others in other parts of the world, even in France, the obstacles and the barriers and the cost of coming to Christ are so great. We pray for all of our missionaries around the world, but especially for David and Mimi now and Jade and their family. Thank you that they're here, but we pray that they can be there as soon as possible, meet every need that they have to get on the field. Father, we pray for Joel and Liddy, and then for the legacy of Robert and Judy and those that are coming to Christ. We pray for generations to come to Christ and allowing us to be part of that through praying and through giving. We pray for Jay Ponce. We pray for Mosaic Church. And Father, we see just hundreds of people come to know you. And Father, may we be faithful witnesses here. And Father, we've been challenged to be more bold and open in sharing our faith, inviting others to come. And Father, may we be their missionaries here, because it's becoming increasingly dark as the light of the gospel seems to grow dimmer and dimmer. And so, Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel. We know it's changing lives. Thank you for allowing us to be part of that through our prayers and our giving. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen, and God bless you. Have a great week, and thanks for being here.